And telecommunications will come to order. Before we got executive action on two bills today, we have some amendments to add to one and.
Roll call.
And a nine, oh, roll call.
Roll call.
Vice Chair Regan.
Here.
Representative Driscoll.
She's right there.
She's here.
Representative McLaren.
Here.
Representative Peterson.
Here.
Representative McNally. Representative Skies.
Here.
Representative O'Hara.
Here.
Representative Boland.
Here.
Representative Phillips.
Here.
Representative Knox.
Just step out and hold for a minute.
Representative Knudsen.
Here.
Representative Menahan.
Here.
Representative Small. Representative Stahl. Representative Carey.
Here.
Chairman Clark.
Here. Hey, I want to remind everyone of their cell phones. I guess you're not here to testify. We're doing executive. So with that, we'll, Representative Skies, do you know anything about the parties of this time? We will still be here.
All right. We scheduled it for 6 o'clock at the Montana City Grill upstairs. It's going to be a buffet, and they couldn't do individual menus, so it's a buffet, and I picked prime rib and some chicken and some other good stuff. I just copied State Admin's menu choice for tonight, which I thought sounded pretty good. I got it for 40 folks because I didn't know how many was senators and wives and whatnot, and I don't know the exact price. The room itself is $50. But the per-person price, I'm not sure. I thought you said you were going to take care of the sponsoring component, so.
We'll get somebody.
So then Friday night at 6.
This Friday?
The 8th?
Saturday.
This Friday?
Mm-hmm. This Friday at 6.
Peterson, you screwed me up.
Can't help it.
Okay. We wouldn't be here Friday.
That's what I was telling you.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you. Okay, anything else, announcements for the committee? With that, we'll go into executive action on Senate Bill 233.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 233 be concurred in.
Okay, it's been moved. I believe we have some amendments.
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment SB 023308.ATE.
Okay, does everyone have a copy of the amendments? Amendment's been moved. We'll have discussion on Amendment 23308.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, basically what this does takes the judicial remedy from Senate Bill 317 and puts it into Senate Bill 233. It does not take the place of the judicial remedy in 233. They will both be in there with Senate Bills 233 taking precedent over the 317.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Everts could remind me of the specifics of the judicial remedy out of 317.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Phillips, on page, starting on page 5, subsection 6A, down to just above subsection C, is the judicial remedy provisions from 317. Subsections C and D are the existing judicial remedy provisions that are in Senate Bill 233 in terms of the remedy being remand back to the agency. And then below subsection D is the rest of the 317 judicial remedy. What these coordination amendments do, members of the committee, is we're only resolving the judicial remedy conflict between the two bills, and the rest of 317 is void if Senate Bill 233 is passed and approved. So it gets rid of all the other conflicts. It only deals with the judicial remedy provisions. And the way this is structured is that we have two sections 5 and 6 in here, and both of those will be codified on the books. And section 5 will be on the books unless the Montana Supreme Court determines that the judicial remedies from Senate Bill 233 are invalid or unconstitutional. And if the Montana Supreme Court determines that, then Section 6 is triggered, and that becomes law, and it brings in the other provisions from 317 that were in conflict with the 233 provisions. And that's why on the last page of these amendments, you'll see an effective date that has an exception to it, and then a termination date, and those are the mechanisms that allow that Section 6 to come into play should the judicial remedy provisions of 233 be struck down. Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any other discussion?
We're on the amendment.
We're on the amendment.
Question on the amendment.
Question's been called on the amendment. We'll have a voice vote. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
I don't even know what they're doing.
Can you raise your hand, please?
Representative Small, aye by proxy. Stahl, aye by proxy as well. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 233 as amended once.
Okay, we have the bill. Representative Peterson.
I want to make sure I understand this. If this bill as amended is passed, then was it 316 or whatever it is?
17.
317 is void. Is that right?
We still have that in our folders.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct with the passage of the amendments.
Okay.
You still, 317, the committee will have to take action regardless of these, the adoption of these amendments, but this says that if 233 is passed and approved, then 317 is void.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment SB023309.ATE.
Mr. Chair, could the Secretary tell us what the vote total was for that last one, please?
13-3.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody? No, not yet. Okay, any discussion on Amendment 23309? Representative McLaren.
In the bottom of the first paragraph there.
Can you speak into a mic, please?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just for clarification, on the bottom of the first paragraph there, the amount of $2,500 is struck at $2,501. What is the purpose of that?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, we're trying to help the state budget get balanced, but no. By rules, it needs to be a revenue bill. This makes it a revenue bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Phillips.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you got to run that. If Representative Regeer would take a run at that again. It's a revenue bill of a dollar?
By changing that, yes, it makes it a revenue bill so it can keep going.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Phillips.
The committee, it certainly can keep going whether it's a revenue bill or not. We keep speaking about bills being killed. You can't really kill a bill until you leave this place for real. There's always ways to get a bill moves forward if the idea is sound enough. And this just seems to be sleight of hand that achieves no real end other than to affect sleight of hand.
Any other discussion on the amendment?
Question?
Question's been called. Let's do a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Regeer?
Yes.
Representative Driscoll?
No.
Representative McLaren?
Yes.
Representative Peterson?
Yes.
Representative McNally?
No.
Representative Skies?
Yes.
Representative O'Hara?
Yes.
Representative Boland?
No.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Knox?
Yes.
Representative Knudsen?
Yes.
Representative Minahan?
No.
Representative Small?
Yes, by proxy.
Representative Stoll?
Yes, by proxy.
Representative Carey?
Yes.
Chairman Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 233 do pass as amended twice.
Okay, you have 233 in front of you as amended twice. Representative Skies.
I'm sorry to bother you again, Mr. Chair, but can I ask the Secretary of that total? I wasn't fast enough.
11-5.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on 233? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we've heard a lot about MEPA in this committee and on the House floor. And all of the comments have looked at MEPA from about 5,000 feet. We've been told how it gets in the way, how it's used to obstruct economic development. I have yet to have anybody give me two specific, concrete, easily understood examples where that actually occurs. So can anybody on the committee give me two examples where MEPA has gotten in the way?
I can take a stab at one. In Missoula right now, MEPA is in the way of the big loads coming. They file suit, and they can't do anything until they get it cleared up. That's one. I don't know of another one right off the top of my head.
Mr. Chairman, not to be argumentative, but maybe I should have rephrased the question. Two cases where MEPA was inappropriately applied, and I think we could both agree sometimes saying no to a project is the thing to do, and sometimes it isn't. And MEPA gives us the opportunity to tell those two situations apart. And maybe the chairman's right. Maybe MEPA was inappropriately applied to stop the megaloads. I don't know that. But let's assume that the chairman's right. Can somebody give me another one where MEPA's been inappropriately applied to stop economic development?
Does anyone have an answer?
You could say the Mattel project. You could say the Mattel project for its lack of finding certain things that then when DEQ gave their path that did not follow any of the recommended routes that the TP rings were suddenly discovered. So in some ways, the lack of what it did discover.
Mr. Chairman, by no means do I know a great deal about Mattel, but it's my understanding that got stuck because of our federal partners, not so much because of MEPA. Moreover, it's important to note, and I appreciate Representative Knox's attempt, but the operative word was it could be. Now, my only point is we're making substantive change to an important law, and I don't think we've got evidence that indicates that the basis for the change is clear and real. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Representative McNally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we heard quite a bit of testimony about this, and I think people's minds are pretty well made up about it one way or another. One thing I would say is that I've gotten a lot of feedback from Montana residents out there who really view this as a vehicle to protect their property rights. It's their way to have input and to really have a say. And the provisions that have been changed have effectively gutted that. And you can frame that any way you want, but that's the reality. So I obviously don't support it for that reason, but, you know, I think it really does take some very good protections and process protections away from people. And most of the people I'm hearing from are not happy about that.
Okay. Representative Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I could just maybe suggest that we don't know how many projects never went forward because of the onerous requirements and the cost of NEPA. So it's a kind of a difficult question. Probably if we look longer, maybe we could answer Representative Phillips' question better, but I think until we make the process so it isn't so onerous and costly, we can't even possibly know.
Representative Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is such an important part of our process that it really does need to be looked at a little further. I would certainly be in favor of seeing it go to the interim to be discussed and worked on by those on the committee, as opposed to, I would have a really hard time of going with either one of these bills, but I think collectively there's probably some good things in both. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate Representative Peterson's logic, but it seems that an affirmative vote for this bill is based on the claim that NEPA is broken, and yet the committee doesn't have good, clear examples of the break. Moreover, we heard clear testimony, and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has made clear their efforts to have the bill amended in the Senate failed. We're losing a clear opportunity to make sure that the state's fish and wildlife resources are not impacted. We know that those resources generate important recreational opportunities and economic opportunities for the state of Montana. I think we're taking a step, a big step, we simply can't justify.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. We'll have a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Regier?
Yes.
Representative Driscoll?
No.
Representative McLaren?
Yes.
Representative Peterson?
Yes.
Representative McNally?
No.
Representative Skies?
Yes.
Representative O'Hara?
Yes.
Representative Boland?
No.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Knox?
Yes.
Representative Knudsen?
Yes.
Representative Menahan?
No.
Representative Small?
Yes.
Representative Stahl?
Yes.
Representative Carey?
Yes.
Chairman Gluck?
Yes.
Motion passes 11-5.
Okay. That went on its way. We will...
Is there somebody to carry it?
With that, we'll take executive action on Senate Bill number 415 by Senator Lake.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 415 do concur in.
Representative Knott.
Yeah, I just really kind of wanted to touch on one point that I think during the presentation was kind of missed. If you go back to simple physics and chemistry, gas is delivered at a certain pressure, and you can adjust the BTU, or in this case, the quality of the product by the pressure it's delivered at. Really, all this is saying is let's tax it at the marketable product point, not tax it at multiple stages up till then. Does that kind of make sense in simplifying what the overall presentation was to some of you?
Mr. Montalban shaking his head yes, so that must have made sense. Representative Stahl.
Well, I was going to say that my experience of in the natural gas field, it's the not so much the pressures, but possibly the temperatures created by the pressure and the compression that could actually change the BTU value of natural gas. But mostly, all natural gases off of every field has a different BTU value. And when you sell it from one company to another company, they always deduct if that value is below one British thermal unit per one cubic foot of gas, or 1,000 BTUs from, or lower than 1,000 BTUs for 1,000, or for an MCF, which is 1,000 cubic feet of gas. If the quality of that gas is lower than what the standard is for the purchase, or when one BTU is one decatherm, and 1,000 MCF, 1,000 BTU is 1,000 decatherm. If that is a lower standard gas than the standard of 1,000 or 1 BTU per 1 cubic foot or 1 decatherm per 1 cubic foot of gas, if it's lower than that, whoever you sell it to automatically deducts from that value. And the difference in that and what I thought we were talking about in this bill is that because a company owns both the well and the collection pipeline system and the compressor station, they don't consider that to be an arm's length transaction. And what this bill is talking about is the cost of delivery from the well. In that system, they don't allow you to deduct the transportation that you have in the costs in compression and gathering lines. They just take the wellhead price, and you're stuck for those gathering costs. Whereas if you have the well and someone else owns the gas line and the compressor, then you don't have to pay the transportation costs. They allow the other company to deduct those costs. So it's an unfair example. In one case, if you own them all, you don't get deducted transportation costs. In the other one, if it's two different companies, then the other company gets to deduct the transportation costs. And all he's trying to do is make this so they're both treated equally, is everybody gets to deduct the transportation costs. If I'm wrong, somebody can try and correct me.
Representative Knutson.
Members of the committee, no, I think Representative Stahl has it exactly right. What we've got here is, for those of you who don't know, I'm an oil and gas attorney. I do quite a bit of leasing work, usually for private individuals working with oil companies or against oil companies, whatever the case may be. What we've got here is a situation that the DNRC has got itself an exemption, and it's trying to protect that exemption. Right now, under private oil and gas law, if I've got a lease with oil company A that says oil company A is to deliver me my royalty free of cost at the wellhead, that would imply I'm supposed to get my entire royalty at the wellhead. What the body of oil and gas case law says is that's not true. They get to deduct reasonable costs of transportation and marketing because the oil company is the one who actually incurs that cost. So they're allowed that deduction. Well, what we've got here is a situation where by statute the DNRC is saying, no, we're not going to let you take that deduction. You have to eat that oil company, and we get to get our full contracted price, even though the oil company or gas company, whatever the case may be, is having to incur those costs for transportation, compression, whatever the case may be. So for me, this is an equity issue. Everybody else has to play by these rules. Everybody else is allowed these deductions. I don't think the state of Montana should be any different. I'm going to vote yes for this bill.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. Roll call vote.
Vice Chair again?
Yes.
Representative Driscoll?
No.
Representative McLaren?
Yes.
Representative Peterson?
Yes.
Representative McNally?
No.
Representative Skies?
Yes.
Representative O'Hara?
Yes.
Representative Boland?
No.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Knox? Representative Knutson?
Yes.
Representative Menahan?
No.
Representative Small?
Yes.
Representative Stahl?
Yes.
Representative Carey?
Yes.
Chairman Clark?
Yes.
Motion passes 11-5.
Okay. So that's on its way.
Is there somebody to carry that one?
Find you. We should let Austin carry it. Yeah.
Austin, would you like to carry this?
He's got it. He's got it.
That'll teach you to talk.
You were stall.
Would one of you two like to carry it?
What?
We're talking about you up here.
Austin can carry it. If he doesn't want to, I will.
Right. ahead, Wayne.
All right. He called. He called him on it. I don't know if we'll get this passed on the floor.
Okay, with that, we'll probably be just listen for my cue on Wednesday whether we'll be meeting or not. We're going to sit on that for a minute. Okay, with that, anybody have anything else?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for state admin, we're doing that dinner tonight that we scheduled, and it's $40 a plate, and I think that also includes the room, but I think that's only for 15 or 16 people. So just be aware if you want to have some money. I don't know how much you're going to be able to get for, we might need around 30, 40, 20 bucks for Friday's dinner.
Okay. Well, maybe if you can stop by on the way out and give your name of the car if you're going to be here. If you're not... Okay, with that, we're done. Okay, with that, we're...